Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name is Roosevelt.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
That's so fun.
Stay tuned.
Another week, another win for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and a little sprinkle of Jesus on top of it. This is the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Off the top there, that was the Johnny McKeag Band with Here We Go. We are your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I've got no voice.
Well, that's from yelling sprinkles or
something. I guess so. I don't know.
But the question is, did you have a corn dog?
I did not.
You should have.
Would it heal me?
Probably. As long as you don't put ketchup on it. That was weird.
Ketchup's a fine condiment for a hot dog.
It's fine, but mustard is where you go. Steve, don't weigh in on this, because I know you're wrong. Give us a follow on Twitter.
Nothing on a corn dog.
Give us a follow on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
You can follow me, at Nothing on a Corn Dog.
Follow me, at Greg on Sports.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram. Just search PifflesPod. And, of course, our website, PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. They're on Skip the Dishes. And Thursday, August 8th, is Miracle Treat Day. So Ooh. Get yourself a Blizzard and all the proceeds go to the Children's Health Foundation.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
A Blizzard?
Well, like, at a time. Go there like 40 times. Get yourself 40 Blizzards.
Okay. Oh, I get two tomorrow. We get them from work, and Ferlin's not at work this week, and he ordered one. I'm eating his.
Yeah. Suck it, Ferlin. So go to your local Dairy Queen, specifically the one on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Miracle Treat Day, always good there. Piffles Podcast, we're a proud member of the CFPN, the Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. We have a lot to get to, so let's jump right in. Time for the opening kickoff. So you guys got that sprinkle of Jesus, right?
Everywhere. That's what you eat your donuts with now, right?
Absolutely. Cody Fajardo leading this team to another victory. 4 out of 5 with a little sprinkle of Jesus on a bad ankle as well against Hamilton last week. Riders now at 4-3. Hottest team in the CFL right now. And let's go back to that game. That was last Thursday, so it's an eternity from now that it happened. But what a game that was, especially that final drive led by Cody Fajardo, and special thanks to Kyron Moore on that.
I had to laugh. I was sitting there as we kicked that field goal with, 2 minutes left, going, is this the time to kick the field goal? You're in the red zone. Go for the major. This is stupid. As soon as we score the touchdown, I turned to the guys beside me. That was a great coaching decision. They are way smarter than me. I love that game. I love games that go right down to the wire. Give me that 18 weeks of the year, plus Grey Cup and playoffs.
But you look at how that game started. I thought it was going to be a rout. Dane Evans' first play from scrimmage throws an interception. Like, I thought it was just going to be, okay, rookie maybe doesn't look as hot as everyone thought he was going to be. And then Riders left the gas, third quarter, and Ticats keep coming back? Or?
I don't know if that was so much the Riders left, let their feet off the gas or realized that they were down 2 all-star defensive tackles and got no pressure on Dane Evans from basically the second half on.
And what a difference that makes. Everyone's going after Mike about how his lack of stats this year, but once he was out of that game,
yep,
that defensive pressure was completely non-existent.
Yeah, and especially with the fact that they only had, 2 defensive tackles on the roster beyond those 2, you're playing those guys nonstop for the rest of the game. It makes a huge difference.
I know I've seen way too much of Mac Henry for my own good.
The penalties he's taking, tripping, even though I don't even know if he actually touched the guy.
Well, it still looked bad. Like, yeah, it was a foot. Yeah. He swept the leg, Johnny.
You stick your foot out like that, even if you don't make contact, if the guy goes down, ref's going to call that, and they should.
They're late penalties. They're just stupid penalties. That's what bugs me the most is, like, it's not you're trying to make a play. It's you're being stupid.
The funny thing is, well, and I've gone on record. I've called him a meathead. I don't know how many times on this show. He is a meathead. He can be a good player, but he rides that line between dumb player and really aggressive. And he's made a lot of dumb plays that game. He needs to tone those back, especially if we're out Evans or Johnson for any extended period of time.
And Zach Evans put on the 6-game injured list. Who knows what's going on? They say it's a hip injury, which I didn't really see a hip. They were holding his arm when they took him out of the game.
That confused me too. Yeah. I thought it was definitely arm or wrist.
He wasn't moving that right arm at all. And his left arm was just swinging away like a normal walk. How the hell that became a hip injury?
Maybe he was holding his hip in place? I don't know.
Who knows? But you guys mentioned Micah Johnson as well, too. He may or may not play against Montreal. We'll talk about that in the Tall Grass Apparel enemy preview. The other Evans, Shaq Evans. Hey, remember a few short weeks ago when people wanted this guy cut? And now he went into last week as the league leader in receiving yards, and now he's number two?
Man, didn't they and I look stupid. He's turned into an absolute beast.
He was their offense in the first half.
I always thought he had talent. It was obvious he had talent. It always just seemed like those easy passes. It would just get into his head, and he would get fumble fingers. And we'll get to someone with fumble fingers shortly. But, it's great. Him and Fajardo have seemed to find a cohesion that you want to see in your number one receiver and your quarterback. So, yeah, I like that chemistry they got going on right now.
And the thing I like best about him is they made a comment about, is he an elite receiver yet, on Twitter? And he replied, or quote tweeted it with, no, I'm not. I still have a lot of work to do. He knows he can continue to get better. And that's what I like to see out of a guy that's that young and that talented.
The good news is he's honest, too, because he does. He's had some really great games, and he's looked really, really good. But, yeah, he's got a lot of work to go before he can be considered an elite receiver in this league.
And the part about that game that was the best was he was going up against Delvin Bro all game long, and he made him look awful.
Okay, I want to bring up, let's talk about Delvin Bro for a second. Has he lost a step?
I don't think so.
Because Harker, the first game, Harker went right at him too. And everyone's like, oh, you don't throw a Delvin Bro. You don't throw a Delvin Bro. Doesn't this rookie know what he's doing? But Bro looked like a normal man that game too. I think his reputation doesn't precede him anymore. It exceeds him.
I love watching Shaq Evans go off in that game. That was so much fun. 160 yards in the first... Well, he had, 130 or 40 in the first half. So he's a big, big play guy, and he's Cody Fajardo's favorite target. Keeping on the receivers, before we get to the rider moves, really quick. Maybe this is a discussion for later, but Manny Arsenault, Naaman Roosevelt. Do you entertain offers for him? Maybe not so much Arsenal.
I don't think you move Arsenal, but if someone makes the right play for Rosie, maybe. I love the guy. He's a great player. He's great in the clutch. But if you can get back a decent package for him, I would listen to offers.
As good as a receiver as he still is, he's not that top tier anymore, and he's clearly not getting enough targets or not doing enough with them to necessitate, you know, the big salary that he has, and he's not a number one in this offense anymore. He's number three behind Evans and Moore.
And it's only going to get worse if Jordan Williams-Lambert shakes loose from Chicago. They're going to have to make room, as it looks like that is a distinct possibility where he is on the depth chart.
I would actually put Roosevelt right now behind Watson, because Watson gets more targets than he does.
And Watson is producing. He's doing very well. I think we're all kind of dumbfounded by that this year. Not that, you know, he's a bad player by any means, but we just didn't expect this kind of production from Watson.
I never thought the day would come this season where I would be disappointed to see Corey Watson hurt on the ground. I was actually scared for our team's future at that moment, and then that was weird.
Well, we can talk about Roosevelt as the season progresses here. No, you don't make a trade right now, but I think you at least entertain offers. You do listen.
Like I said, if a package came in that made sense, yeah, you'd contemplate it. Do you pull the trigger? I don't know, but you're definitely listening to offers now.
Yeah, you don't shop them.
No.
You might have a potential replacement for Shaq Evans in this game on the roster now. He might, Shaq Evans hurt his ankle in practice this week and may not play. We don't know quite yet. Kenny Stafford, former Edmonton Eskimo. Now he's a Rider. Rider's trading Christian Jones to Kenny Stafford. I, for one, let me just say really quick, I am absolutely amazed that Jeremy O'Day got anything for Christian Jones, let alone a guy who's having kind of a career year like Kenny Stafford.
No kidding. Like, remember when Alex Anthopoulos became the GM of the Blue Jays and he moved Wells when everyone thought no one could get anything for Wells, and he made a bunch of moves that people thought he made steals on. This is like Jeremy O'Day is doing the same thing right now with the Claros trade and getting something back for Christian Jones, especially a guy who's actually producing. And don't get me wrong, I've made several jokes at Kenny Stafford's expense about his catching abilities, but he's having a hell of a year, and he's only going to help his offense, especially if Evans is down.
And Christian Jones is a guy who couldn't even crack this active roster. This is a guy who was the, you know, the healthy scratch for the last few games. And with the amount of returns that they have on this team, Kyren Moore, Lucas Pierre-Foy, and
Marcus
Thigpen, Christian Jones right now, he's a one-trick pony. He's not getting in on this roster, so the fact that they got something is incredible. And of course, one other roster move for the Riders here of note anyway, KD Cannon cut, apparently asked for his release. Wasn't happy he wasn't put on the roster and Arsenault took his spot, I guess. So he asked for a cut, or asked for his release, and
I guess that makes a little more sense, considering they traded for a receiver. Yeah, it looked like he had all the potential in the world, he just couldn't seem to crack this roster.
And you got a feel for the guy. He asks for his release because he can't make the roster on the same day that we make that trade, and then hours later, Shaq Evans hurts himself, and it looks like he could possibly get on the roster based on that alone. Guy had talent, but so did everybody else ahead of him. It's a good problem to have when your guys on the bench are too good to stay there.
Yeah, no kidding. Depth is one thing I'm glad we really have.
There's the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian, Royal LePage. Before we get to stuff this week, let's take a look around the CFL from last week really quick. Hey, remember that time that Toronto beat Winnipeg? Remember that time that Winnipeg talks so much smack, especially on Twitter? They're coming to Toronto and they're just going to leave after a win like Kawhi Leonard. And remember how they were up 20-0 over Toronto and lost 28-27? I remember.
Hey, remember...
1990s.
Nothing makes me happier than watching that fan base implode on their starter. Although I did say I was going to stick to positivity this week. I kind of let that go out the window pretty quick. I want to see more of this from Winnipeg. Please continue to lose.
I stand by. I cannot wait to go to Banjo Bowl where it's going to be torches and pitchforks again. Like that. They booed Nichols more than we did.
During a, what was the ad for?
Abused women, women shelter or something. Like, oh my god!
Out here doing good things and you're booing them. You're doing a man doing charity work. Good job, Winnipeg.
Can't wait to boo him again at the Banjo Bowl.
Oh, it's gonna be so good. And the good news is we'll have like 30,000 Winnipeg Blue Bombers fans doing it with us. And then we can watch Steve's favorite, Hard Eyes Emojis.
Shut up.
One more thing around the CFL here. Bo Levi Mitchell throwing. Sounds like he'll play next week. He's not going to play against Winnipeg coming up this week. But
why not? It's a guaranteed win for them anyway.
They're on the road. Short week, so I don't know. That's not a gimme game in Winnipeg.
I know.
They lost to Toronto.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
A team that's averaged their losing by, to lose this year by over 20 points a game. And Winnipeg lost to them.
So, like, whenever anything happens this year and we mention Winnipeg, please mention that again. They lost to Toronto. Please, that's your job for the rest of the season, Steve. We don't really delegate jobs
with
the Pivots podcast, but that is your job.
So you guys are going to start doing design work, too?
No. We'll tell you about design work. Are you going to start editing shows?
I've done it.
Are you going to do it more? Because that would be great.
I could do it with less
on my plate right now. I could do it. But most importantly, last week in the CFL was Toronto beat Winnipeg. Nothing else really happened.
No. Montreal doesn't have an owner.
The Eskimos got a new president, and it's not Cavis Reed.
I swear to God, he has Bismarcky on speed dial. That's how he got that job.
He's just a friend. They say he's just a friend. Bismarcky.
Oh, we should have done that.
Oh, baby,
you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. Would you say he's just a friend? Oh, maybe you!
What in the actual hell is going on?
You have... I promise you've heard that song. Just a Friend by Bismarcky. Look it up. I promise you'll... you've heard it. I promise. We could play it, but copyright issues.
Yeah.
So we won't.
The look of confusion on his face.
Well, let's get to something Steve knows a little bit more about.
So we're not talking about football anymore?
Yeah, not anymore. Never well, maybe not. I don't know.
Star Wars?
Yeah, you have a Star Wars suit, an R2-D2 suit.
I do.
That's really... I'm not a Star Wars geek or anything, but that's a really cool suit.
I got to wear that in front of my entire company. That was great. And nobody was surprised.
Moving along here. Time for this week's Underdogs Memorabilia Piffles Player Profile. Steve, you hit up practice. You went with Sheldon.
I did.
Actually. And you got to catch up with Dakota Shepley.
I did. Got to talk a little Marvel.
Omega Green.
More nerd stuff that I know nothing about. So I guess I'll learn about it here. Let's hear from Dakota Shepley.
This week on the Piffles Player Profile, we're joined by number 64, Dakota Shepley. Dakota, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
So you spent a little bit of time down south. What's the biggest difference you've noticed, you know, in practice and in game day between the CFL and the NFL as an O-lineman?
As an offensive lineman, it's got to be the yard at the line of scrimmage. I mean, that just changes the entire tempo, in my opinion, of practice, because everything just happens right in your face right now. So just, you know, getting used to a little bit of unlearning coming back to the Canadian game. And getting used to that yard line of scrimmage, I'd say, is the biggest difference.
As an O-lineman, do you have a preference between which you do?
I mean, there's pros and cons to both. I kind of enjoy the no yard in the States, simply because as a guard, I can set behind the center and just give myself that yard if I really wanted to. And if it was... If the play called for me getting on the guy right now, then I could, you know, set a little closer to him. So, I mean, there's a little bit more room to play with. So I think I like it a little bit more for that reason. But, I mean, it is what it is, right?
Fair enough. And expanding on that, what do you think was the biggest thing, you know, was going from, like, college to the pro ranks?
I mean, just preparing like a pro. I mean, in university, you're focused on school and parties and girls and whatever's going on Friday night after the game or whatever. So I think just being able to really hone in on your routine and kind of figure out who you are as a person and as a professional, I think that's the biggest jump from that I've seen from school to the pros, is just how you prepare.
So you're not preparing for a game, you're not in the gym, you're not at practice. What do you do to keep busy?
Man, I just started the office for the first time ever. I've never seen it before, and I'm like a big film buff, so whether it be TV or movies, so I'm very shocked at myself and frankly pretty disappointed that I hadn't started sooner, because it's absolutely hilarious. I started it 2 weeks ago, and I'm on season 7. Like, I've just been cranking it out, so I get home and watch that until I fall asleep, man. It's a grind. Yeah, no, so.
I work in a cubicle, and I still haven't seen it. It's on my
really?
List, so.
Dude, great. Get on it, yeah.
So going back to football, what would you say is the most difficult drill you guys got to go through at practice?
I mean, anytime we're going against our own defense, I think that's got to be the toughest. That's not necessarily a drill, because you're really going against yourself and, you know, really trying to perfect technique when you're talking about drills. But I mean, when we get into the team periods and we're preparing to play this week, we're preparing to play Hamilton, and we're going against our defense, which isn't Hamilton, and, you know, our guys are the best guys in my opinion. So going against the best D-line, that's the toughest, man. Trying to focus on technique, but also you want to win the rep against the guy that, like Micah Johnson, is just, you know, it's pretty tough. No pads either, so it's catered to the D-line. Whatever. Anyway.
So as an old lineman, which do you prefer at the end of the game, assuming your team wins? Zero sacks or a dominant rushing performance?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I'm going to say zero sacks, because I don't want Cody to get hurt. So, you know, rushing is fine. After a win, it doesn't really matter as long as we won. But if we can win and say we got zero sacks done, I think that's more impressive than a high rushing game, in my opinion.
Going on 2 straight games, that's not too shabby.
I mean, 2 games of the same team back to back. So I think this would be the real test for us, but... I mean, yeah, two games is still pretty cool.
Okay, and speaking of that, like, how does an offensive lineman, like, truly grade himself?
Harshly. I think, you know, I'm my hardest critic as far as grading myself. you know, it's tough because, you know, what would be a positive play and what maybe the coach would grade out as a double positive would maybe be a double negative in my view, just because, oh, I don't like the way I did this and I can improve on this. And, you know, you're constantly finding things to improve on and picking yourself apart, which is good and bad. And I think for the most part, it's good. So, I mean, yeah, that would probably be it. Just being tough on yourself.
Now, like I said, we want to get to know a little bit more about you away from the field. Now, you spent a little time on a Hollywood movie set. I mean, I'm a big Marvel nerd, cool. So I'm a little jealous on that. What was the how long did you have to spend in the makeup room?
So yeah, the first day they brought me in to like actually test the makeup, because they had flew me out to LA to get like a live cast of my face, which is pretty much just making a mold of my face so they can fill it with plaster and sculpt basically. So the first time they actually put on my face, it took them like 6.5 hours almost, and they kind of narrowed it down to about 4 every day. So yeah, it was, I mean, I got paid for it, so I'm not complaining, but yeah, it was quite long.
Any nicknames in college?
Nah. Coda. D. Nah, not really. I haven't really thought about it. Nothing that stuck, that's for sure. Coda. I mean, Coda.
Do you got any hidden talents that people might not know about you?
I played the drums since I was 3. I've always been a musician. I think music was my first love. My dad's a guitar player, so he got me into the drums, so he had someone to jam with. You know, when I got the hang of it, and coincidentally got the hang of it right away. So I just had a knack for music my whole life.
All right, last up, we got a couple of quick rapid fire questions. Okay. First thing that comes to mind, favorite Dairy Queen Blizzard?
The strawberry shortcake one.
Game day meal?
I just have a big breakfast, honestly. I don't eat anything before the meal. I just have a massive breakfast.
Go-to team in Madden?
I don't play sports games. Yeah, just straight racing.
Fair enough. Dinner with one person, dead or alive. Who you having with you?
Probably Chris Kyle, the American sniper. Yeah.
And last question for you: Who's gonna play Dakota Shepley in a movie about his life?
What's Buddy's name there from Oceans? The old guy, George Clooney. Let's go, George Clooney.
Perfect. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
There was the Underdogs memorabilia, Piffles player profile, Dakota Shepley of the Riders offensive lineman. Now let's get to a couple questions here that we got from on Twitter and Facebook today. Steve, why do you hate on Chris Streveler every time we mention his name?
Because he, in my opinion, without a doubt, is the most overrated player in the CFL. Most overrated. I've seen so many better quarterbacks. You look at like James Franklin the last few years, who've actually done something before they were anointed the next thing. All he does is run for touchdowns and throw it as hard as he can. No accuracy, minimal talent. Dude's a bum. Okay, maybe not a bum, but I don't think he's quite the...
Michael Bishop or Chris Streveler?
Fold the team.
Who will be traded or acquired tomorrow since we record tonight? So last week we recorded on, Tuesday night?
and
then the next day, Zach Kolaros gets traded.
And we all said Kolaros wouldn't be traded.
You know, we didn't talk about this, actually. We should jump into this right now. The fact that we got anything, let alone a fourth round draft pick, that could escalate to a second round pick for Zach Kolaros, Jeremy O'Day. If we did, like, heroes and zeros, or, like, champions and... champions or something, like Jeremy O'Day would be on the king list of that. Just fantastic.
Like, and Streveler would be a chump.
Like,
sorry.
Like, Pop has to be desperate. Like, I can't explain why you would even trade for him.
Must a little fire under Bethel Thompson, because he came out with a win after against Winnipeg. Ha, Winnipeg sucks.
I was. That's my job. Like, stop it.
You're too slow.
He didn't even finish his sentence.
hopefully nobody gets traded or maybe acquired, but I don't know. I don't think we'll see anything else happen in the next couple days anyway. Maybe something next week, but definitely not.
Yeah, not before game time anyway.
But Zach Kolaros, if he's healthy and he passes all the protocol, teams are kind of, their hands are tied as to what they can do.
But even when he was healthy, he did not look like Zach Larson 2015 that everyone seems to think is going to come back.
Nope.
But you know what? He's on a real cap-friendly contract because we paid half his salary in signing bonus. It's really a win-win for Toronto.
I guess.
They can cut him or keep him for next to nothing.
Final question we'll get to here this week. A lot of good surprises on the roster so far this season. Who's the one player you expected more from so far
on the Riders roster? Underachieving right now? Is that the question?
Yeah, I guess so. So, like, I mean, Micah Johnson, I guess, because the numbers themselves aren't there. Like, we talked about how bad the D-line was after him and Zach Evans got hurt in this last game against Hamilton.
I got to say Naaman Roosevelt.
And I don't put that all on him. Actually, if I had to... A guy who had a bit of buzz coming out of camp had to be Solomon Means, considering they released Crezdon Butler to get him on the roster, and now he's not on the roster, so I guess I would deem him as underwhelming for the year.
Oh, that reminds me. We didn't talk about LJ McCray and how well he did.
He had a hell of a game last week.
He's a physical guy. He's from the, you know, played with the 49ers, so the guy knows pro football.
Yeah.
He's been a nice addition to the team.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Nick Marshall.
Also a good choice.
Just the stats aren't there. I know DB stats are kind of, you know, the glory stats when you get the interceptions, but if they're not throwing your way, you're doing your job, right? So, but I mean, after a real strong rookie year,
They're going after him.
And the first couple games of the year anyway, it was working. And he's still the guy that seems to get beat a lot, but he's a very aggressive guy. He takes those chances and he's there with him, but
yeah,
not that he's a disappointment by any means, but I think I just expected, you know, to see that growth level from that we really haven't seen.
I think last year with all of his interceptions, he thinks he's a ball hawk and he's jumping routes way too early.
And if you notice, when he gets beat, it's absolutely never his fault.
Ever. Always.
Never.
Always looking at the refs. Well, to be fair, when receivers don't catch the ball, they're always complaining to refs too. So it goes both ways there. So again, send those questions to us at Piffles Podcast. Send those questions to us at PifflesPod on Twitter. We'll try and get to some every single week. So should we talk about this upcoming game against Montreal? That sound like a good idea?
I guess. If we want to talk about Rider football, I guess.
Call the MASH unit on this one. Before we get to us talking here, Riders in Montreal for the Tallgrass Apparel Enemy Preview. We're joined by Cliff of the Montreal Alouettes Flight Deck Podcast. Cliff, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Now, injuries everywhere for both these teams. We'll talk about the Riders' injuries in just a little bit here. But from the Montreal side of things, quarterback, starting running back, like it's kind of a MASH unit over there in Montreal too, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly not the most ideal situation. It's certainly not the quarterback matchup I was expecting to see when I saw the schedule earlier this year. Instead of Vernon Adams and William Stanback, now we're going to have Antonio Pipkin and Jeremiah Johnson. So that makes things a little bit interesting. And yeah, you guys are definitely starting to walk a little wounded yourselves too. So that's going to make for a very interesting matchup.
Now, I got to ask you from a Montreal perspective, looking on the outside, looking from the outside in, how the hell did Vernon Adams lose the starting job to Antonio Pipkin to begin with out of camp?
That's a question, and I know Greg's going to... This is a question you're going to have Kavis Reed, because when training camp started, Vernon Adams was fourth, if you can believe that, on the depth chart. And for whatever reason, I'm sure there's reasons that we can always speculate, but for reasons beyond our understanding, Adams was number four, whereas Pipkin was number one. But the beautiful thing about football is you just shut your mouth, you go to work. That's what Vernon did, and he proved everybody wrong. Anyone who was doubting, he proved them wrong. And it was clear, like that first game when Pipkin got hurt and Adams stepped in and basically led the Alouettes to nearly come back and beat the Eskimos in week one, I think that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can't sleep on this guy. You really cannot sleep on Vernon Adams. And the three-game winning streak that happened, further proof that this is the guy. That there is no quarterback controversy in Montreal, because Vernon Adams is the starting quarterback for the Montreal Alouettes. And the only thing that was going to stop him was injury. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened last Friday.
So Alouettes this week added Frederick Plesius to the roster. What do you think he's going to bring to the team?
He's a bit of a hand hitter, which, especially considering how the special teams didn't do last week, he'll be a welcome addition. He He was the special teams demon both in Hamilton and in Montreal, the times that he's playing there. I was definitely looking forward to seeing him get out there and smacking a few folks around. As far as that goes, it's more of a depth move than anything else, but again, I'm thinking with special teams playing the way they did against Ottawa last week, they use all the help they can get, so if there's someone out there that can go and just get after the returner or just make plays happen, I'm all for that, and I think Freddie can definitely do that out of the outlet.
Now, we saw what Deadman did last week to your special teams unit. Is there any concern coming into a game against a team that's also putting up a lot of a special teams touchdowns this season?
Oh, you better believe I'm concerned. Again, the special teams this year had just been kind of there. Like, they didn't really bring much to the table, but they didn't take anything off the table. They just sort of did their job and let the offense or defense do what they had to do. But last week just showed what a glaring hole there is in that particular unit. And yeah, it's definitely a concern. And I know that Saskatchewan can light it up when it comes to kick and punt returns. So this week at practice, they spent a little bit of extra time trying to get that figured out because, yeah, the fact that the two Deadman returns went viral the way they did just made Montreal look even more foolish. And again, the past couple of years have stated, Montreal doesn't need help looking foolish. They do a pretty good job of that all by themselves.
So what's the vibe on Kahari Jones out of Montreal? Because we know him as the quarterback with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers mostly, but he was the Riders' quarterbacks coach in 2013 when they won the Grey Cup, and now the head coach of Montreal. What's the vibe of him out there right now?
Well, people have definitely bought into him. I mean, the fact that this definitely was not the way that he expected to start his head coaching career. But, man, he has definitely made the most of the opportunity. And the players have bought in hook, line, and sinker with everything that he's said. And it's been really fun to watch. I love that the Alouettes now are posting the post-game speeches that he does to the players afterwards. And you can't help but get fired up just a little bit watching him because you see the passion, you see the dedication in his voice. And he knows that this is not an ideal situation. He knows that there's all sorts of extracurricular stuff going on with the ownership news and everything that's going on with the team. But it's almost like he's saying to the guy, just tune that out. Let's focus on what's going on, what we can control, what we can do on the field. They bought in. They believe in him. And it's been pretty awesome to see. It's also been great knowing that finally there's a CFL head coach in Montreal with head coaching experience, which we didn't have last season. And you see now that's made a huge difference in how this team responds and how they react, and it's just been absolutely wonderful to see.
Now, you kind of touched on it with saying that there's been some changes post-game there with the Alouettes posting videos and such. With the league owning the team as of right now, how has the experience changed from the Wettenhalls, and I guess what do you see going forward as hopefully a new ownership group comes?
Well, it's pretty clear that the league is trying their best to put their best foot forward when it comes to the Alouettes, trying to present them as the most positive light possible. Whether or not it's going to work, it's hard to say because it seems like every week another ownership group gets vetted, they get sort of treatment of due diligence and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden they're back out of the race. So it's been a really weird sort of courtship, if you will, when it comes to the Montreal Alouettes and any potential ownership group. So, I stated at the start of the year that I don't think we're going to see any major news as far as ownership goes until at least Grey Cup. I really think the league is just really taking their time, really trying to find the best possible suitor, which makes absolute sense. And again, it's one of those things I'm just personally myself not worrying about. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. I just have to have faith that whoever the CFL decides to be the next owners for the Montreal Alouettes, that they've done their due diligence, they've checked everything out, and this is a ownership group that's going to be dedicated to making Montreal Alouettes football relevant for years to come.
Now, the biggest question of all, prediction. How's this game going to go?
I think it's going to be a fun game, all things considered. I mean, all these injuries now that we're now starting to see, it's really a little bit concerning, but I still think it's going to be a good game no matter what. I really want to believe that last week's performance by Pipkin was just a blip on the radar. I really want to believe he's better than what we saw. And now that maybe he doesn't have that sort of distraction hanging overhead that he's the backup quarterback now. Like, now he's the man, so to speak, at least for this week. I'm hoping that's going to be what it takes, like, just having that pressure off of him. But all he has to do is just go out and play. I'm hoping that's going to be enough for him to play his best football, because we've seen how good he can be if given the opportunity. So now that's what I'm looking forward to seeing more than anything else. And I really think this is going to be a fun game to watch, win or lose. I can't predict the winner because that's just not what I do, but I definitely think this is going to be an entertaining matchup.
All right, Cliff, where can people find your podcast?
Well, head on over to, on Twitter, you can head over to @AlouettesFLDeck, or head over to www.AlouettesFlightDeck.ca. And if you want to shoot me a follow on Twitter, you can do so @CliffyD, that's CLIFFYD.
All right, Cliff, thanks so much for your time and helping us preview the game on this week's Tallgrass Apparel Enemy Preview.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope, like I said, I just hope it's going to be a good, exciting game, and may the best team win.
And may that be the Riders. Awesome. Thanks so much, Cliff.
No problem. Thank you.
Now let's move over to the Riders side of things here. Again, those injuries. Shaq Evans might play, might not. Kenny Stafford might be playing for him. The good thing, Kenny Stafford played in Edmonton with Stephen McAdoo while he was offensive coordinator there, so he does know the offense, all two pages of it. Just kidding. This year there's like three or four now. But... the injuries, it's really going to take its toll on this game.
Well, it definitely takes out the biggest, bonus that we've had going into the season with that defensive line. When you take away the guys like Micah Johnson and Zach Evans, not to mention potentially A.C. Leonard as well, that's three quarters of your starting defensive line down to injury. That's not what you want to do going into, a key game going into the season.
I did have to laugh at Charleston Hughes' Twitter, where he posted a picture of him and Ferraro on the plane. And he says, just me and the kicker. And I'm like, yeah, that's about all that's left on this team after all the injuries this last week or so.
Bardown put out an article on that saying he was making fun of the injury situation.
But it's on the, I guess, is it plus side? At least Montreal is also walking wounded too. So it's kind of a fair trade, so to speak.
Hey, so... with the Riders' four wins this season, do you guys buy into the whole, they haven't beaten anybody yet?
No one's beaten anybody in this league. Like, literally no one's beat anyone in this league.
And that's the thing.
That's not true. Toronto beat Winnipeg.
Good play. There you go.
But like, when you look at it, all teams have had their problems this year, and nobody's really beaten, like, probably one of the better games of the year was Winnipeg-Edmonton. But other than those two teams at that time, everybody else has had injury problems. Everyone else has had some sort of problems. I don't buy it. You have to, and Greg, you mentioned this, you have to play the teams that are put ahead of you. I think it was you.
Somebody said it.
Yeah. But like, you have to play the teams that you can't control what the other team puts in front of you. You have to go out there and beat them. Guess what? Everybody plays Toronto twice. Everybody plays BC twice. The Riders beat them for a combined three games. Yeah, we played Hamilton, one of the better teams, without their starting quarterback, but... guess what? BC gets them this week.
And they beat us without our starting quarterback in week one, so...
and everybody else is going to get Hamilton without Jeremiah Mazzoli this year, so...
I always hated that argument. Well, you haven't beat anyone yet. You beat the team that's in front of you. Yeah, are some teams lesser than? Of course, that's just the way football works, but... you look at the Riders for how many years. They play to the level of the team that's in front of them.
Always.
And they would lose games they should win, and they would win games they obviously should have lost. But that's what teams do, so you just got to play who you got.
Well, and they're going up against, another backup quarterback with our backup quarterback who's hurt. He's the starter now, but going into the season.
Every quarterback's a backup quarterback except for Mike Riley for some reason, because I don't understand that.
That's because he's back down.
Because he's the toughest man in the world playing behind that O-line. BC had 12 O-linemen practicing the other day. You think if they...
They could put all 12 out there and see if that works.
Well, they'd get too many men. But, like, if they put 11 out there with Mike Riley, they'd still give up, like, 40 sacks.
They didn't give up one this week.
Well, bye week. I bet you Mike Riley still got sacked at some point.
Mike Riley's so confused he's laying on the ground looking out near hall. Just so he feels normal or what?
Maybe.
Thinking of the Twitter interaction with what's his name?
Bakes Takes.
Yeah.
And is everyone mad at me this year? Am I just pissing off everybody?
Yes.
Okay. I'm doing my job.
Okay, well, let's get to our pick 'em here. Week 9. We're in week 9 of the season already. It seems like just flown by so far.
Labor Day's like in no time.
Few weeks away. A few games away
from our bus is anyway. 1 week from today. Tomorrow. What day is it? 6th? 7th?
Bus?
The bus. The banjo bus.
It's not 1 week.
1 month. Month. That's the word I was
looking
for.
There you go. Like, damn. I'm not prepared at all for this to be in a week.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Winnipeg anyway, they lost to Toronto last week. They're playing Calgary this week. Calgary at Winnipeg. Who do you guys got?
Calgary.
3-game losing streak.
I'm going with Calgary as well, too.
When you lose to Winnipeg, you don't get any respect the next week.
Riders in Montreal.
I'm worried about the Rue St. Catherine flu.
That's a real thing. Can confirm.
Yeah.
Real thing.
Real thing. I am going to go with the Riders, though. I think they'll find a way to pull it out with a little sprinkle of Jesus.
I said it on Twitter, and I'll stand by it. Riders by 10+.
I'm with Greg. Sprinkle of Jesus all the way. Cody Fajardo. I'm all in. I'm all in on him now. He is absolutely the guy, and we were discussing before the show, actually, should he be signed to a new contract? Yes. Like
he should be.
A couple weeks ago.
But he won't be. Because he's going to eat. If his agent is smart, he's going to wait till the end of the year.
Maximize his value.
Maximize his value and push it to... I don't see him hitting free agency, but I think it's going to get close to free agency.
See, there's a ton of risk with that because right now his stock is sky high. He's on a 3-game winning streak. He's looking great. He's making the plays.
There's no behind him.
He could just as easily tomorrow go on a 6-game losing streak and be replaced by Isaac Harker and be looking for a job next year.
He's a quarterback. He could be injured.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, look at Masoli. He's in a contract year. Gets hurt. It's going to cost him some money. So if I'm Fajardo, I'm saying, okay, yeah, you want to pay me for a couple years? Give me some money now. You know, take my contract that's what? Probably 150 grand this year. Let's go ahead and double that and then we'll talk. Got a lot of money from Zach Caleros going the other way.
I am assuming there's probably talks already in place. If not, there's a meeting to talk about talks.
With what O'Day's done in the last week, you have to know that he's got to be making calls to the agent. So we're all on the Riders this week. Ottawa at Edmonton.
Edmonton.
Man, I wish their Pretenders would win this game, but they're not going to. It's going to be Edmonton. And finally, BC at Hamilton.
Oh, Hamilton.
I'm going to go BC.
You're nuts.
I know. I predicted Montreal's first win of the year. Now's BC's turn. Nobody predicted Toronto's.
I was going to say, no one predicted Toronto's.
But they beat Winnipeg.
Yeah, they did.
That was fantastic. Remember when that happened?
We need like a bell every time that's mentioned.
Episode whatever number we're on. Winnipeg lost to Toronto.
A couple of nuts here. I'm actually going with BC as well. Coming after the bye, they have to, right?
They lose this week, they're done.
They lose this week, they're dismantling. They are literally dismantling.
We got to have at least one more week of media and people out in BC saying, remember the last time they started 1-6, they won the Grey Cup. So we need them to do that again. One more week, it's going to happen.
They need...
And then they'll lose next week.
If they lose, it's a fire sale.
But the only thing that cannot happen is Daron Carter can't get shipped out. Just for the Daron Carter Kiss My Ass Club.
We need to see that dude kiss Daron's ass.
That's it.
I hope that really happens.
I don't want a guy that trolled a professional football player to win Grey Cup tickets.
The guy is going to close his Twitter account if Daron lasts the entire year. You know that's going to happen.
All right, now that we've set our quota of swears this week with the Daron KMA Club, I guess that's it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us this week. So give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
You can find me at Safamod.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. On Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And of course, the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Again, reminder, Thursday, August 8th, Miracle Treat Day. Go get a blizzard. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Underdogs Memorabilia for their support to make this show possible. Piffles Podcast is a proud member of the CFPN, Canadian Football Podcast Network, and a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Kinexus. Next time you're stuck in traffic for a while, here's some things to think about instead of why the car in front of you is going so slow, or if the car behind you is trying to hitch a ride on your bumper. What if your bank was committed to working with you to achieve your goals? What if they cared enough to get to know you? What if they weren't successful unless you were? What if your financial well-being drove everything they did? Come see why things are different at Kinexus. Stop by any branch to learn more about how Kinexus cares. And we got one more song to sing us out this week. Tyler Gilbert, you know what it is. Great song. Ghost Behind Your Mind.